of the mercies I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. There's no other way to tell you but to say God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. Time's replayed and I can see I've cried some bitter tears, but I felt His arms around me as I faced my greatest fears. You see, I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joys than hurt, as His grace rolled down upon me undeserved. God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. God has been my Father, my Savior, and my friend. His love was my beginning, and His love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you everything He is, but the best way I can say it is this: God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good.
Amen. Thank you, Ellie. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 17 tonight. Matthew chapter 17, and we will stand for the reading of God's Word. What a blessing it is to be able to have a Bible. We can hold it in our hand, we can open it up, and it will change our life. And that is a blessing. I'm glad you're here tonight. I'm here to preach the Bible. Not my opinions, not my wants, but the Bible. And I pray that we'll listen as God speaks to us tonight. By the way, my words are mere man's words, but God's word is His word. And I want you to remember that. Always remember that. Be very careful, those of you who have study Bibles, that you get attached to the notes. Many times people get really attached to those notes. Well, you know, Scofield said this, or Tim LaHaye said this, or somebody said this. You know, who really cares what they say? What does God say? That's what matters. And notice, if you would, in verse number 14, Matthew chapter 17 and verse 14, when they were come to the multitude, there came to Him a certain man kneeling down to Him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, and oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." Then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place. By the way, if you want to know what yonder is, ask Grandma, she'll tell you. Sometimes they think yonder, you know. I hear them say that in the South sometimes, and I thought, you know, those just aren't educated down there, until I found it in the Bible, and I found they're more educated than the rest of us, amen? Because yonder means the other place, amen? But notice what he says. He said, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Thank you, and you may be seated. You know, there are just times in our lives when it seems like that we face mountains. Mountains of adversity. Mountains of difficulty. Honestly, when we started this building project years ago, in 1998, we had our very first banquet. We met next door in the building next door for our very first banquet. I never forget when we gathered in that little place, and I don't remember how many were there, but I do remember we raised about $33,000. And that was the beginning of trying to get everything done around here. And then, of course, in the process, more things need to be done and so on and so forth. And we didn't have the land next door. We're still in the little building here. We had all the different things. And I was looking at like a mountain we had to surmount to get through this. And by the way, God took us over the mountain. But in all of that we went through, I don't know if anything I've ever had been more challenging than a stinking parking lot. It's crazy. I mean, honestly, I thought all you had to do is just put gravel down, put some asphalt down, throw up some lights, and man, we're good there. We're good to go. I never knew the environmentalists didn't like that. I didn't know that there was storm reclamation information we had to take care of. I didn't know about all that. I'm not saying that would have changed it, but it just seems like a big mountain. It's been a mountain for like 3 years. Maybe some of you have had things in your life that you thought was going to be simple, but it become a mountain to you. Sometimes it does that, doesn't it? There are mountains that come in our life and things unexpected we never expected. There are things that will come along the way that as we are serving God and living for the Lord and trying to, you know, take care of our family and take care of everything, that we'll hit a mountain along the way. And here's the question. What are we going to do with the mountains? How are we going to get over the mountains? Well, the disciples had just had a great mountaintop experience. Jesus, in the first part of the chapter, if you remember that, you go back and read that, Jesus was transfigured before them. They saw the glory of God in Jesus Christ. It was a mountaintop experience. And whenever you see a mountaintop experience, you can always be assured that whenever there's a mountaintop, there's always going to be a valley somewhere along the way. No sooner had they gotten off the mountaintop than here they were in the valley again. And now they were facing another mountain that they had to get through. And they didn't know how they were going to take care of that. You know, it's strange, but it seems like it's like that. We have mountaintop experiences. We have valley experiences. Life is always like that. After a great victory, after a moving of God, you're going to find that there will be challenges. And these disciples, these men have already forgotten that. They didn't know what to do. They were just dealing with a difficulty. They didn't know how to handle it. And they didn't know what to do. And so they went to Jesus. And they're wondering, why could we not take care of this man whose son was a lunatic? Why could we not cast out the demon? We had done that before, Lord. We don't know why we couldn't do that. And the Lord told him there was one major problem. One major problem. And that problem was faith. And I want to tell you this tonight, that many times, the reason why that we have such a struggle getting over the mountaintops is one problem. Just like they did, we have it too, faith. We have a problem of faith. All of us do. You know, do you realize that faith, true faith, is not human, it's supernatural. In fact, what kind of faith am I talking about? Now all of us, everybody has an element of faith. I've had a guy say, "Well, I'm an atheist. I don't have any faith." I said, "I know better than that." He said, "Prove it to me." I said, "All right." I said, "You have faith in the legs you're standing on, don't you? You have faith in the mouth that you're mouthing off right now. You're going to have faith in the building you're going to walk in. You're going to have faith in the chairs that you sit down in. You're going to have faith in the car that you drive in. You're going to have faith in the fact that people are going to obey the laws." That's human faith. We all have an element of that. We all understand that. But that's not what kind of faith we're talking about in this passage. That's not the kind of faith that moves mountains. The kind of faith that moves mountains is the kind of faith that in the book of Hebrews, it talks about, it says, "For without faith," Hebrews 11:6, "it is impossible to please God." That's what we're talking about, true faith. See, you can't go to heaven because you are a good person. You can't go to heaven because you are a religious person, or because, you know, you've been baptized, or maybe because grandma is, a Baptist, or whatever the case. You can't go to heaven that way. It is so amazing to me how many people, when I talk to them, I'll ask them about their spiritual life, and they start telling me about their parents' Christian life. My dad is a Baptist preacher. Well, that's great. Praise the Lord. So was Nathan's. But I can tell you something. He's not saved because I'm a Baptist preacher. He's saved because he put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ just like I did. That's the only way that a man can be saved. It's the only way. And faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Tonight, we can't please God in our human effort. We've already heard about that through the testimonies. I appreciate the honesty of people. You know, we just have to be honest. Faith is hard, isn't it? It's difficult. I don't know. I don't want to be able to see the pathway. I like if I was a pilot, I'd love the runway. I want to see the whole runway. And God says, "No, you're just going to see a part of the runway. You just take off and let me take care of the rest of the runway." And times in the ministry, it seems like we're moving from one mountaintop into the valley, trying to move and get to another mountain. We really just want to get the mountains out of the way altogether. That's what we really want to do. What was Jesus teaching? Well, do you realize that not only were the disciples facing mountains, but there were other men in the Bible that had mountains they had to deal with? For example, you think of Abraham. Abraham had his deserts. You talking about having a mountain that you had to move. Boy, it had been tough leading 3 million Jews out in the middle of the desert, griping, complaining for 40 years. That'd been a mountain. You think of the fact that you look at Joseph, that Joseph had his jail. That was a mountain that he had to move. Moses had the Red Sea. Joshua had the Jordan River. The 12 spies had the giants. And the disciples had the Jewish leaders, as well as other things that they face in their life. All of us will have our mountains. But God says with the mountains, we can move them. We can move them. But the key is faith. That's the key. I'll be the first to tell you that for me, that, you know, faith is an area I struggle with. You know, I like to kind of just work it all out on my own. You know, I can sit down and maybe on paper I can write it up and put it all together. But, you know, that's human reasoning, not God necessarily. So what do we have to have? What are the aspects of faith that he's talking about? What is he teaching here? Well, we learned there are three kinds of faith that God describes for us here. I want you to look at it with me tonight, and then we'll be done. Just stay with me, and we'll get through this real quick, all right? But I want you to understand, because you're going to look here, and some of you might be sitting here tonight saying, "Okay, how are we going to get this parking lot done?" Faith. Faith. That's how we're going to get done. How have we ever gotten anything done? Let me ask you this. How were you saved? Faith. I mean, that's the way it is. Do I want to kind of manipulate it, or do I just want to let God do it? I want to let God do it. But what kind of faith does he ask us to have? Well, if you notice in these verses, God described for us the very first kind of faith that every one of us need to have, and that's believing faith. Believing faith. Verse 20, he talks about that. He tells them that they need to have believing faith. Let me tell you what it is not. Believing faith is not faith in man. It's not the fact that somewhere that I can put my faith in some man. That, this is going to happen. I put my faith in this guy, and I put my faith in this guy. My father-in-law, it's interesting. My father-in-law, years ago, used to have a banker. And back when we were just getting started, I remember that they kind of helped us and co-signed a couple loans to help us get started, get established in credit. Years ago, when we first got started, I remember he said this. He said, now look, here's what you do. You call up my banker guy, and he'll help you with the loan. I said, what's his name? He said, Crook. That's his name, Crook. Can you believe that? A few years ago, I did a funeral for a guy, and the wife went over and met with the family and everything, and they were from Arkansas, and I went over there and sat down with them, and Faye, you could connect with them. Amen, Arky. And so I got over there. I sat down because the family flew in from Arkansas, and the widow was there. Everything, we sat down, and I said, now what does your husband do? And she says, oh, my husband was a banker. And I said, really? And I looked at the name, and I said, your husband was a banker? And she said, yes. His last name was Teller. And so, sometimes the fact is that we have this idea that we kind of, if we're going to maybe, take care of the parking lot or take care of things in our life when it comes to a financial mountain that we're dealing with, what we need is we need to get to a banker. Oh, no. Let's just get to God. Because, one thing I've learned about bankers, they can tell you no. They can turn you down. God reminds us of the fact that really faith is not putting our faith in a man. It's not trusting what a man can do for me. In fact, God says it like this: it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. It is not faith in circumstances. Some people try to adjust the circumstances to make it line up with what they want. They try to work it out. They try to line it all up so that they can somehow do that. And that's not faith either. Faith is not feelings. How many of you ever found your feelings fluctuate a lot? Anyone ever notice that? Boy, this morning I didn't feel like getting out of bed. I don't know why. I just didn't feel like getting up. And sometimes I just don't feel like it. I don't feel spiritual sometimes. You ever feel that way? So faith is not that. That's not believing faith. Believing faith is not that. I'm going to tell you what faith is. You can mark this down. Here's what it is. Faith is in God's Word. Faith is in God's Word. Have you ever noticed how much faith is connected with the Word of God? Sometimes I've found that people come to the church, and I've talked about this before, but I just want to remind you of this. Sometimes people come to the church, and what will happen is they'll lack assurance of their salvation, and they'll think, well, I must have got to get saved again because, after all, And I'm going to tell you this. You will not have great faith, you will not have believing faith until you get into the Bible. You have to get into the Bible. And so if we're going through and we want to move a mountain, in a mountain, and we all have mountains in our life, and I don't know what your mountain is today, and I know what we are as a church, but we all have individual mountains as well. And if we're going to get through the mountain, we have to have believing faith, and that faith has to be centered, anchored, and wrapped around the Word of God. The Bible says it like this: the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Do you know that means that when you and I are dead and gone, the Bible still stands? It means believing God's word, taking God's word as it is. Just accepting what God says. We must believe what he says and we must obey what he said.
So the kind of faith that he's talking about here, the kind of faith that moves mountains, is number one, believing faith. One of the things I did years ago here in a church, and I had some people that came to me, and here's what they said to me. They said, "It'll never happen, Pastor. You'll never get a new church building at Calvary Baptist Church." That's what they said. So, folks, you are sitting in a figment of your imagination, okay? Because it never happened. Okay? I remember I told some guys one night, we were sitting over in a little building. We're sitting right here in the front, and I told the guys, "I'm praying that God will give us this land next door over here." And I had two guys come to me afterwards and said, "That will never happen. We'll never get that land." In less than 6 months, the city called, and we have the land. Now, it took a little bit longer than that to make it work, but the truth of the matter is, tell me that God doesn't do great things. You tell me that God's not doing it. You tell me that God's not in that, that God's not working. And what I try to challenge the church is, I said, look, don't get this idea that it can't happen, because with God, nothing is impossible. Amen. Nothing. God moves us forward, and God wants us to move forward. God wants to move those mountains out of the way. And some of you might be sitting here saying, my marriage is on the rocks. I don't know how I'm going to get through it. God, that may be a mountain, but God is able to take you through the mountain. It may be a child that you're dealing with. It could be a heartache that you're facing. It could be a physical problem. But I'm going to tell you, God can take you through and move the mountains. But we have to have believing faith. And I'm going to tell you something. You know, when you least believe that that's going to happen is when you least get into the Bible. And when you're not getting into the Bible, you're going to least believe what I'm saying tonight. A lot of people are going to be sitting here saying, "I don't believe it. I don't believe it." That's because we're not into the book. That is the direct connection. That's what Jesus was teaching these disciples. But there's another kind of faith that I want you to write down and notice this. It's simple faith. He talks about this simple faith, and here's what he says. It's size. It's the grain of a mustard seed. Now, I always thought of it as being a mustard seed. But it's the grain of a mustard seed. In other words, it's just a part of the mustard seed. Anyone ever seen mustard seeds? Anyone ever seen them? Yeah, they're just little tiny seeds. Real small. It's the smallest of all seeds. It's very tiny. And the grain of the tiniest of seed is what God says. That kind of faith is what moves mountains. This means it doesn't take much faith to do something for God. That's what it means. Not much. Let me ask you a question. How much faith did it take you to get saved? How much faith did it take you? Did you have great faith when you got saved? Was your faith just, really, really big? Mine wasn't. When I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and asked Him to be my Savior, my faith was like the blind man when he was healed by Jesus. You remember in John chapter 9 when the blind man was sitting on this curbside and they came up and the disciples said, "Jesus, who sinned, him or his parents?" And Jesus said, "I have him there so that I could bring glory to God." And he gave him, remember, he opened his eyes, and now everybody's all upset because here's a blind man now healed. And they all thought, he did something on the Sabbath day, and this guy violated the Sabbath, and all of those kind of things. And they were all upset, and they said, "We're going to arrest him." And who said he could do that? And went down and asked his parents and said, "No, ask him. He'll tell you how it happened." And remember what the blind man said? I love it. Here's what he said. He said, "All I know is I was blind, but now I see." Right. Didn't take much faith, did it? All he knew is, he said, I didn't have much. Look, if you got saved, you didn't have much. Right. The night that I led some of you to Christ in this room, you didn't have much. You may only come to church once or twice, or someone may have given you the gospel a few times, and you just didn't have much. But I'm going to tell you something. You don't need much. It's simple faith. The size of it. You don't have to have, mounds of it. And sometimes I think we have the idea that God can't use me unless I have great faith. And maybe I need to go to Bible college or get a theological degree or have to have, you know, all of this knowledge that before God can ever use me. Oh, no, you just have the faith as the grain of a mustard seed, the Bible says. Doesn't take much in size. Simple faith. And then there's power. Did you notice that he mentions the power that it can move mountains? If you drop the grain of a mustard seed into the crevice of a boulder out in nature, you know what will happen? That mustard seed will germinate. And it will grow out of that crevice and come up. And I'm sure you've seen that. It will grow out and it will be so strong. What will happen is it will move the boulder right out of place. And so it is with our faith. When we plant the faith that God is telling us and we lock it in on what God says, that simple faith that we have, God says that when you do that, I can move the mountain. Whatever that mountain is in your life or in my life, God can give us that parking lot. God can strengthen us in times of weakness. God can encourage us when we're discouraged. God can give answers to life's perplexing problems when we don't know where else to go. God can give us comfort when we're in trouble. God can do that. God says that's the kind of faith I want you to have. The disciples didn't understand that. So when we talk about victory tonight, man, I'll tell you what, our victory, I love what Paul writes, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, we're victory. We're victors. We're wearing a conqueror's crown given to us because of Jesus Christ. We're overcomers, the Bible says, because of him. I'm just glad I'm on the winning team. Some of you guys are such competitors. So funny, the other night at the banquet, you see everybody trying to make those clay cars? I mean, man, they took it to a whole different level. Yeah, I'm sitting at the table with the chief and my wife and everything. He's looking around and says, man, these people are serious about this, aren't they, you know? And I said, oh, man, they're like sick 'em to a dog. All over it, man. They're making these little clay cars and putting them all together. When I got done, man, it looked like, it looked like Flintstoneville or whatever, you know. At least my car looked like Fred Flintstone. Of course, there's no connection between that and Stone Street. I don't know, but I just remember I always loved on Flintstones. They always had a guy named Joe Rockhead. He was my favorite character, you know. But sometimes I think we have the idea that, we have to kind of manipulate God. And God says, oh, no, listen, you just need to have simple faith. Simple faith. That's all. The kind of faith that saves man from eternal judgment in hell. Just simple faith. Tell you, that night when I trusted Christ, just like the night that you trusted Christ, God took you from going to hell to send you to heaven. Isn't that wonderful? But then there's one more, and I want to give it to you. I want you to see it in closing, and that is praying faith. This is different. This is the notch past the simple faith, praying faith. You know, it's the kind of faith that when Rhoda went to the door when Peter was in jail and the church was praying for Peter to get out. Remember the story? Peter's knocking on the door. They're inside praying that he'll get out of jail, and he's standing outside knocking on the door. Rhoda comes and said, it's Peter. And they said, you must be mad. He can't be. We're praying for him right now. God already answered the prayer. That's the kind of faith we're talking about. It's the kind of faith that when you talk about praying faith, it's the kind of faith that when you pray that it requires prayer. Letter A. There are some things that require fasting and prayer. There are just some things that God just requires of us that they're big mountains before they can ever be conquered, before they can ever be moved. They cannot be moved without fasting and prayer. I believe that tonight. I believe that. That's why when we have 50 days of focus, we had the fasting. Can I be honest with you? You guys not get mad at me. You know the one thing that no one liked probably in the whole 50 days was the fasting part. And I, you know, for me, I realized we had a little bit of a mistake. I think when we did the February 10th or something, we wrote in there February 10th, and it got transferred as 10-day fasting. Everyone about popped a cork when they read that, you know. It's like, 10 days? I'm going to die! You know. I mean, Moses was 40 days and 40 nights in the mountain, you know. 10 days? You know, I asked for one day. And everybody's telling me how bad it was. And then what was really bad is when we talked about desserts and bread. Fast for a week from desserts. What? Okay, so we started working this thing, didn't we? Here's what happened. We said something like this. Well, dessert means something after I eat. So if I eat it before, it's not a dessert. So I go ahead and eat it, right? Anyone ever thought like that, huh? I had about 10 people come to me with that little corner on the truth. So next year I'll put no sweets, and I'll get stoned in the back on my way out to the car. Somebody came to me. I think it was Mrs. Ambrose came to me. She says, "Pastor, I can't go without eating. I got to fast. What can I do?" I said, "Fast from TV or something." She kind of looked at me a little funny. I said, "Okay, fast from George for a week." That I can do, she says. She even suggested 2 weeks for that one, you know. So, but, you know, it's so funny. Because the truth of the matter is, fasting is just setting aside something to dedicate your time to God. There's no mechanical thing. It's not like, okay, God says, "You give that up, then I'll give you something." No, it's not that at all. It's our heart is just say, "Dear God, You're more important, and I want to give up something to You because, Lord, I just really need You." That's the heart of fasting. That's what fasting is. Now, I know that some of you probably have had tests like I've had, and they said, "Well, fast for 12 hours before you come in for your blood test," or whatever it is. I've had all that. That's one thing to have. That's another thing when we talk about spiritual fasting. Prayer and fasting requires that. That's faith. Edgar blew me away with his testimony the other night. I think Edgar had it right. Remember what we said about how the faith and the Word of God goes together, what Edgar said? You guys remember what he said? Edgar said that, you know, as you fast, when you open up the Bible, God opens up the Bible to you. It's just that way. It is true. It requires that. And God says that praying faith is going to take a little bit more effort. It's going to take some sweat. You might actually feel uncomfortable when you're praying. Something I found out about prayer, have you ever noticed that, you know, pastors are supposed to be laborers, not loafers? It's so funny. Sometimes I'll meet people in town and they'll say, "Now, what do you do?" I say, "I'm a pastor of Calvary Baptist." "Oh, really? Well, what do you do on the other days of the week?" I said, "I guess nothing, really." Do you know, though, that pastors are to, their job is to pray and give themselves to the Word of God? You know why? Because prayers work. How many of you agree with that? Amen? Challenge you. Pray one hour a day the next 7 days. You'll understand that. It's work. It is. It's work. It takes that. And God says that if you're going to see that mountains move in your life, you're going to have to fast and pray. It's not going to happen just like, you know, just because you want to. You're not going to say, "Well, God, you know what my heart is. You know what I want, so go ahead and give it to me." No, God says prayer and fasting. It requires prayer. But secondly, it leads us to pray. You know what I found out? The bigger the mountains, the more I pray. The disciples need to see God once again in their life. They'd already experienced that mountaintop, first part of the chapter, but now again, here they were. They're about to face another difficulty. They could not do what the man had asked because their faith was weak. And God says, "Look, if you want to have faith, you got to have faith that moves mountains." And it comes as we understand that faith and the Word of God go together. Prayer and fasting go together. That's what it is. There's no doubt about that. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by what? Prayer and supplications with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. That says by in everything by prayer. Didn't say in some things by prayer or just in the mountain times by prayer. It says in everything by prayer. Tonight, we're on the victory side, amen? You know, if the worst thing happens, we die, the parking lot's never done, guess what? We're still going to go to heaven. That's a good deal, isn't it? I mean, if we, you know, if we're never able to get it done, and you know something else I learned about the ministry? There's never in the ministry, and it's true in your Christian life as well, you'll never get it all done. So all I can do is say, Lord, I've done my best, and I'm going to leave the rest. But God, I realize you're the great God. You're it. And God, I want to move some mountains in my life. Some of you want to move some mountains in your life, don't you? I know you do. You've asked me to pray with you about, and I'm praying with you about things. I have on my prayer list things that you are praying about because you want mountains moved, and I understand that. And I want you to keep communicating those with me, and I'm going to keep praying with you about those. Keep putting those on my in the next step sheet. They'll get to me, and I'll make sure that I'm praying between Sunday to Sunday. I'm praying for those particular needs. I really am. And you're praying for those. And we're just praying that God will move some mountains. But I'm going to tell you something. It's going to take faith. Faith. Believing faith. Simple faith. And praying faith. Heavenly Father.